The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com. Cameras, action, change status. Actor, tap your favorite actress. Gucci, rock it, pop it, movie, watch it. Booty, chop it, body, move it. Show it, prove it, style it, and be a fly. Come on. I'm just a master, like a Catholic. Dismiss the rap, it's my future's backlit. And the act with the cat, the master. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. In studio, we have Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com. What's up, Jeff? How are you?
I'm good. I'm good, man. I'm feeling for you. We were talking in the bathroom about that back pain you got. I've only had it one time in my life for a very small period of time, and you're hurt, man.
You know what, though? It could be worse. I could be a Broncos fan.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Let's hear. I was watching. Do you partake in the Manning cast or
I've
no?
Never seen it.
And so I like it's very like when Louis Riddick was on Monday Night Football, I go back and forth because I want to hear what Louis Riddick has to say. Right now, very easy decision because I will pretty much take any option versus Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. You don't really. It could be anything. I'd say yes. And so I was watching the Manning cast. They had Saquon Barkley on, and then they were going to have Shannon Sharp on in the fourth quarter. And boy, am I glad I listened to Peyton Manning and Shannon Sharp. It was basically a home broadcast for the Broncos. It was all, you know, we need to do this, we need to do that, and Eli Manning. And you can kind of tell he was getting a kick out of the Broncos pissing the game away. Listen to this final sequence. All of America couldn't figure out what the Broncos are doing, and that goes for Peyton Manning and Shannon Sharp. They couldn't figure it out either. This is how it sounded on the Manning cast last night as the Broncos let the game slip away.
Sutton. Oh, yes. A good play.
Now we got fourth and five is doable.
We got three timeouts, E. I might use one right here, E. Let's use one. Let's talk about this one. They're gonna try to draw them off sides. Might try to draw them off sides, E.
You don't have that much time.
Snap count.
You don't want to waste that much time, I don't think. It looked unsettled. Sutton doesn't know what he's doing. Hurry up. Time out.
What the? So you just burned 30 seconds to call a timeout?
A lot of time wasted right there to call a timeout, Pate.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because even now, if you get 5 yards, still got two timeouts, but you gotta get some yardage.
They're gonna kick it.
They're kicking right here?
Kicking the field goal right here.
Hold on.
Oh.
Let me see how far this is.
62 yarder. 63 yarder.
What?
Kick what?
He couldn't. It's the look on his face even better because he was. Kick what? How long is this? And he had already said he was enjoying some adult beverages. Yeah. And they had said, he goes, well, if this goes in overtime, you can hang with us. He goes, and he held up the bottle. He goes, you may not want me on there if it goes to overtime. So he was already in it.
That's
everybody. And you're talking about three Super Bowl champion players that couldn't figure out what the hell they were doing. And as the clock was ticking down, I'm like, they have timeouts. Yeah. They have Russell Wilson. And I kept thinking, this is like a 64-yard field goal. What the hell are they doing?
It's not even up for debate.
What are they doing?
At that point. I mean, you can live with fourth and five, they beat you, they make a play, whatever. Your best option there is Russell Wilson, football in his hands. in his old stadium in front of his old fans.
That's why you brought him to
Denver. That's why you paid him all that money. Right. That's why you traded all these draft picks to have him. You didn't do that to kick a 64-yard field goal. And they showed the stats of career all-time 60-plus-yard field goals, 2 for 41. That's what you're betting on in that moment. Look, it was a tough day for Nathaniel Hackett. And you know, we talk about first-year coaches and how that's going to affect this division, how they're going to – what kind of pressure is going to be on them. You saw it with Brandon Staley last year.
Yes.
Some critical moments. And so, yeah, I don't know how you – well, I do know how you got to just be honest with yourself and with your team. Like, I screwed that up. I blew it. Should have managed it better. You got to have people in your ear telling you what you want to do. You can't sit there with three timeouts and make that decision.
The other part of this, which is very satisfying, is this article came out last week that they were talking about how what a poor job Vic Fangio did in game management and close game situations, and so they wrote this long article in Denver about how. Well, that's one thing that's going to improve, because Nathaniel Hackett hired two coaches to help him in game situations, in clock management, and so now this is being regurgitated today. Like, okay, let's talk to these two guys. What were they thinking? Yeah. Where were they at last night?
Maybe that's why it took so long. They're all sitting there talking to each other about what they wanted to do, weighing in different options. It just, to me, it was, look, the way the game went, I mean, it be honest with you, it shouldn't have come down to that in the first place. You got three cracks inside the 5-yard line. You fumble twice, kick a field goal on the other one. It's just like you were sitting there. I know Geno Smith. You said you don't believe in Geno.
I do now.
That first
game,
God
bless that man.
He came out and played his butt off. And look, I think there's a lot of things that go into that game that make for that type of ending or that kind of result. I mean, one, you got a coach who knows Russell Wilson inside and out, so they had a great defensive game plan for him. You got a crowd that certainly is rabid and wants to see Russell Wilson go down. I'm assuming that those issues inside the 5-yard line had a lot to do with the crowd there being right on top of you and affecting your ability to hear the snap count, the cadence, all that stuff being thrown off. They looked like they were discombobulated in those moments. But, again, dropping the ball twice at the 1-yard line is just – I didn't have the sound on. I was at my kid's baseball game watching it, but I was like, I've never seen this before in my life.
I think the stat I saw was that hasn't happened in an NFL game where a team fumbled twice inside the other team's 1-yard line since 1991.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, all the games that have been played all that time, and for it to happen on two consecutive possessions. Yeah. I don't know what the stat was on how many times that's ever happened in the history of the NFL, but you know,
it
like
had
that,
to be zero.
Yeah, that doesn't happen. But it was what you were saying about them looking a little discombobulated. Man, there were a lot of times where Russell Wilson was trying to reposition his wide receivers, especially Jerry Jeudy. Seemed like he couldn't get him in the right spot through the course of the game, and that was one of the things I was wondering about: is okay, how much of that is a new quarterback and wide receiver? How much of that is on those individuals, and how much of that is on, because we talk so much about the Chiefs under Andy Reid run a professional training camp, and they are prepared for the season to start. Doesn't mean they don't have any mistakes, but they look like they're ready to play. And that Broncos team did not look like they were ready for the regular season.
That's exactly how and they weren't alone.
Right.
this weekend. Looked that way.
Right.
Especially
right.
teams like Broncos were playing some of their players during the preseason. A lot of teams who didn't do that looked a lot worse.
Right.
But, they looked like they were off. They looked like they weren't ready to go. And that's – every team is going to have some teams are going to have tougher openers than others, and they're going to have to learn from it and grow from it. I think the Denver Broncos will be a good team throughout the course of the season. I think they will learn from this. In fact, it's probably better that you have these kind of moments starting the year off so you realize, okay, we're not – just going to go out here and make the playoffs, and Russell Wilson is going to be an MVP candidate, and it's all going to work because we got the quarterback now. You know, you have to go out there and you got to earn it, because that's a team in Seattle that's going to end up being one of the 5 or 6 worst teams in the NFL this year, and you just got beaten up by them in week one.
The Broncos lost 2 fumbles on rushes from the 1-yard line last night. The last team to do that in a game was the 1987 Kansas City Chiefs in a Week 4 loss to the Raiders. So,
do you remember that game?
Well, 87, was
the strike season?
That was a strike year. Yeah, so there's a good chance if that game was at Arrowhead, there's a good chance I was there because that was back in the time frame where I would go to the games with my grandfather and nobody was there. So.
Who did they play?
The Raiders.
I bet you I was at that game too.
The Raiders.
Always went to the Raiders game.
And so, that's how long it's been since that happened, the 87 strike team for the Kansas City Chiefs. And so now the Broncos start off 0-1, and we turn our attention to the Chiefs and Chargers. Before we get to that, let's talk about what we saw from the Chiefs and the Cardinals. Man, the offense has made it look easy. You know, and drove up and down the field. That's what really stood out to me. It was just everything worked. I thought the run game looked good. Clyde looked like he had some juice. Mahomes got the ball to 9 different receivers. All 3 running backs had their moments. You couldn't draw it up any better than I mean, they could have scored 60 if they wanted. I mean, they scored 44, but they took the foot off the gas. That was and then these comments from Cliff Kingsbury saying that his team wasn't ready for the level of play they faced. It's
that's who I was referencing.
What were they playing
in preseason?
Right. What were they expecting? Yeah. I mean, how like if you're not okay, so the Chiefs are 9-1 in opening games since Andy Reid became head coach in 2013. So that should be a warning sign. That should be a red flag right there today. They're really good week one of the season. And then, oh, by the way, they've been to 4 straight championship games. They have, I mean, there's like every reason to be prepared for this and to expect that you're going to get a hell of a performance from the opposition. How do you say the next, well, I don't think our team was ready for they saw.
And you're going into it without DeAndre Hopkins, without Rondell Moore, without J.J. Watt, without whatever 3 of your 4 best corners. You're going into it undermanned, so you would think. The funny thing I saw the comment after the game was someone asked him about what do you got to improve upon. We got to have more urgency in practice. We got to be better in practice. Well, you didn't play your guys throughout the entire preseason. The message you sent was let's rest our guys, let's not get hurt, let's be ready to go, and then you come out and you get steamrolled because – you know, I watched that game and I thought, man, Cliff Kingsbury might get fired this year. I know he's got an extension and it's probably unlikely, but I'm like, your game plan on offense and defense was like you had months to prepare for this.
Vance Joseph blitzed Mahomes more than he's ever been blitzed
before,
over 50%.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't you next day, wouldn't you bring him like, hey, now let's go over there. What were you thinking?
Yeah.
What was this for? So here was the quote. I think that they knew week one was coming, but I think the level of play that the Chiefs played at was a step above probably what they anticipated. Mm-hmm. How do you not, the Chiefs are one of those teams to be like, well, the Bears kind of caught us off guard. We weren't ready for how well they play. How are you not ready for an Andy Reid coached Chiefs team led by Patrick Mahomes week one when that's what they're known for? They come out firing week one.
Well, that's why Cliff Kingsbury is the coach he is, why he's gotten the scrutiny he's gotten. And, like, I agree with you. I thought they'd come out and they would be, given what they were missing, that they would play a lot more slow-paced, try to milk possessions, try to keep the score to a minimum, try to force the Chiefs to sit back in coverage, tackle, rally up and tackle when you have to, try to keep it within reach. Now, I think we all agreed that the Chiefs were going to win the game,
mm-hmm.
at least by double digits. But when you come out there and you play that way, and it's like this is nothing against the Chiefs. They played great. They played phenomenally. But the Cardinals looked so bad. I was sitting there thinking, my God, it's like this team could end up being like 5-12.
Yeah.
Like they had no options, no answers, nothing. And Kyler Murray looked really tiny out there. I mean, he's a small guy anyway, but he looked like he couldn't see stuff. There were a couple moments in the first half where he had guys wide open in the flat, and whoever was calling the game, Roma, was just like, oh, he's going to want that one back. I don't know how he missed that guy. He missed him because he's 5'7". He couldn't see the guy.
I mean,
I don't know, man. It's like, for me, it was it was one of those games where the Chiefs did what they had to do to win and looked impressive doing it. But on the other side of it, I think it said more about the Cardinals than it said about the Chiefs.
I felt like maybe I was making too much of it when we were talking all last weekend, ready for the game. That whole situation with Kyler Murray's contract is an indication that there are things not working well in that organization. Mm-hmm. And it's not just about Kyler Murray. Yeah. It's about how everything. That whole thing happened. You know, the fact that everybody that agreed to that contract decided that was a reasonable thing to have in a contract says so much about so many problems there, you know. And I think that from the head coach to the ownership to the quarterback, and you saw a lot of that on the field.
Yep.
That does not look like a well-oiled machine there at all.
No. And to J.J. Watt being hurt, I mean, you have to start talking about – we talk about Von Miller and Khalil Mack and what they're doing at their ages, and J.J. Watt seems to always be hurt now.
Mm-hmm.
At week one, you're not out there. And so, yeah, it's – there's a, and people were talking about that stuff in the offseason, people around the league, as far as how Kingsbury is being looked upon and as far as how Kyler Murray is looked upon and how they've constructed the roster – it was embarrassing. And I know Kyler Murray admitted that. He talked about, like, if you don't come out of this game feeling like, all right, we got to do a lot of work to get better, then something's wrong with you. Now, the benefit they have is that most of the NFC looked bad over the course of the weekend. So it wasn't like, it wasn't hard to see them feeling like there's at least a silver lining in all of this is that a lot of teams on that side of the NFL have issues.
All right, so let's talk about the game coming up. The Chargers beat the Raiders on Sunday, but not only do you have a quick turnaround for the Thursday night game, there's some key injuries that are going to affect both teams. And Trent McDuffie, who was playing very well, he's got a hamstring issue, and so he's up in the air. But then on the other side, Keenan Allen, also hamstring issue. He's up in the air as well. Trey Smith, I think Juju Smith-Schuster was a limited participant with the shoulder, but he should be okay. It looks like Harrison Butker could be out, so the Chiefs brought in a Matt Amendola, a different kicker. What do you think about this matchup, considering who might be missing? Keenan Allen has been – I mean, that's a pretty big blow for the Chargers, but then again, so is Trent McDuffie for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of – even though Keenan Allen's a more accomplished player, they kind of balance each other out. I actually watched the Chargers. I was in L.A. last weekend with the Chargers and watched that game with the Raiders and then watched the Packers-Vikings game as I was watching the Chiefs game. And what was impressive about that game was that even though Keenan Allen was a leading receiver, they didn't really throw the ball much to Mike Williams. I know they're high on Josh Palmer. He only had like one or two catches. And so I think that what's – within their offense, Gerald Everett is an X factor now, the old Rams tight end. And so that will be an interesting situation, how they utilize him. I think Trey Smith on the Chiefs side of it is the more concerning injury because the Raiders had six sacks the Chargers had six sacks against the Raiders. And if you're taking away one of your best interior linemen, the Chargers' interior pass rush is much improved this year. And so – you know, you really want to see how that matchup plays itself out. But, I mean, it's – and Butker's actually, as I think about it, is noteworthy too because he's hit some huge kicks in his career and beat the Chargers a couple years ago when Mr. Herbert was a rookie on a 50-plus yard kick. So that's a big one too. But I think overall it's – guys are going to be banged up this, you know, in every game. You're going to lose people. I don't think it's – I don't think any team wins or loses or gains an advantage based on who's going to be out. I think all those injuries kind of balance each other out in the grand scheme of things.
Okay, so I did not watch the Chargers-Raiders game because we were all locked in on the Chiefs here.
Yeah.
All the talk afterwards, Justin Herbert, incredible, incredible, incredible. That's what everybody had to say. They put up like 24 points, which isn't terrible or anything, but like, so what happened? How come they didn't score more if he was so awesome in the game? How did the game play out in that regard?
Well, they were playing a real team. Yeah. Playing a better team. The Raiders were
– okay.
They were up 24-13, and then they made a late run in the fourth quarter and got it down to 5 points. But, yeah, they were offensively dominant. He made some plays in that game, some throws that were just – wow. I mean, just like on a line. He's got, I mean,
I'm not debating. I know he's a great quarterback.
Oh, no. I know what you're saying. Yeah.
It's just
the Chargers are always in close games. No matter how they play in the first three quarters, it always comes down to the end with the Chargers.
Yeah, and I don't think that anybody went into that game thinking they were going to destroy the Raiders. Right. I think scoring 24 points is perfectly fine in a competitive AFC West game. So, okay. I mean, I thought they were pretty good offensively. Okay. What I saw, they didn't look like they were a team. I don't think they had any turnovers in that game. But
I guess, and that's why I'm asking the question, because it just seems like in today's NFL anymore, the good offenses, you see them get into the 30s, into the 40s even sometimes. Yeah. And, you know, and
I always say this, man. When you're scoring that many points, when you're scoring 44 points, or you're scoring 30-plus points, usually the other team's offense is not doing a whole lot. Usually your defense is dominating. And the Chargers had 6 sacks and 3 interceptions in that game. Mm-hmm. So they did their job. But usually you see what happened with the Chiefs game, where it's like the other offense can't do anything.
Yeah.
And so I think Davante Adams had 100-plus yards receiving. The Raiders have Darren Waller and Hunter Renfrow and Josh Jacobs. Carr is a good quarterback. Like, the Cardinals are out there with Greg Dortch catching passes. Like he was the go-to guy.
I was watching the game with my son Phil. He was furious. He goes, "Who the hell is Dortch?" You know, like that's
yeah, if Kyler Murray's fantasy team or something.
He's like in five fantasy leagues, and you just hate that. You know, when you watch, we're like, wait a minute, who the hell is this guy? Yeah. And it was like every look was like, yeah, they were looking for Dortch on that play. So we're having some fun watching Dortch.
Yeah.
Apparently the offensive game plan was centered around Dortch.
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, I hear your point, yeah. But I think, like, they're going to be fine offensively with the Chargers.
I was listening to, like, Mike Garrett talk about, or Jason Garrett talking about him after, you know, on Sunday Night Football, and I was expecting to see, like, some massive, you know, man, boy, he was incredible. And 24 is not like anything, like I said, to be embarrassed about or anything. It was a little surprising to me to see the way the scoreline was. So, but the Raiders, you come away from that being actually impressed with the Raiders too.
Well, they didn't play great. I mean, their offensive line's got some issues.
Yeah.
Now, and maybe, again, that's one of those things where, like I said about the Chiefs and the Cardinals, maybe that's the thing where I'm looking at the Chargers' defensive numbers maybe look better because the Raiders' offensive line situation isn't that solid.
Gotcha.
You know, because they really, I mean, Khalil Mack had 3 sacks. They were just having their way with them.
Yeah.
And that, to me, was more noteworthy than anything else. But I think, look, again.
Is Trey Smith a big loss for Allegretti if that happens to be the case in this game with the interior you're talking about of the Chargers?
I think it's a big loss because you're going to have to give help either to Bosa or to Khalil Mack. I mean, just watching that game, I don't think Andrew Wiley and Orlando Brown versus Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa one-on-one is a good matchup for the Chiefs. So you're going to have to devote some extra. You're going to have to do some offensive line scheming to make sure those guys, at least one of those guys, has got extra protection on them down in, down out.
We've got Jeff Chedia in studio back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stop. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. We're talking with Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com. I've enjoyed seeing the graphics that people are posting on Twitter. Dallas Cowboys eliminated. So that's over.
Oh, he's only out for 4 games. See that? Might be back in week 4. That might be a little bit too late, though.
Right. Cooper Rush probably not going to win a many games. So that was a devastating blow, obviously. T.J. Watt, he's getting a second opinion on his torn pectoral. But while he was in that game, he wreaked havoc upon the Bengals. As good as that kicker's been, that was shocking to me that they had a chance at an extra point to win the game. It got blocked. And then a field goal to win the game, and he missed it. That was a surprise, seeing the Colts tie with the Houston Texans. That was a surprise. And then watching the Giants drive down the field, and with over a minute left, decided, well, we're going to go for 2. Saquon Barkley makes a hell of a play, gets in the end zone. And then the Titans, these teams just get in field goal territory, and not like chip shot. Like they just so content with a 47-yarder. We've got to put the brakes on now. We're good. And the Titans missed a 47-yarder to win it. There was a lot of surprising outcomes in week one. What shocked you the most?
Oh, that's a long list there. I was surprised by Joe Burrow's play. That jumped out at me. I mean, five turnovers in week one. He was really forcing the ball in that game. I don't know if you saw it, but, like, he was throwing the ball into some really bad situations. This pick six on the first play. I thought Trey Lance, the way that the Niners looked, even though they were playing in horrible weather, but and no George Kittle and Elijah Mitchell got hurt early.
Mm-hmm.
But that was how poorly they played. If you had told me, I'll tell you what's really surprising. If you had told me that of the four teams that played in the NFC divisional round last year, all of three of whom have great quarterbacks, that those four teams, the Rams, the Packers, the Niners, and the Bucks would score 46 points between them and over the weekend, I would have laughed at you. That, I mean, those three teams, especially the teams that lost, God, it was just look, they looked so bad. And how they played, but it was a wild weekend, and I was looking forward to it because probably the first time in a long time I went into an NFL season feeling like I really don't know beyond, you know, I can't even think back to when this happened, but usually you go into a season, there's probably like four or five teams you know have a good chance of winning a championship that you're really like, okay, it's the Chiefs, it's the Patriots, it's the Rams, whoever it is, what year, the Packers are going to be in the mix. And going into this one, we talked last week about just how many teams. I wanted to watch almost every game just because there was something intriguing about each one, from the game last night to I was watching the Panthers-Browns game to see the Baker Mayfield Super Bowl being played. I wanted to see how the Dolphins looked with Tyreek, and you wanted to see how the Bengals looked. And there were so many games that caught my eye. And usually season opener, I'm kind of like by – Sunday night, I'm like, okay, I'm fried. I'm tired. I've watched some really good teams. But even the Lions-Eagles game was one of the more exciting games of the week. I didn't expect the Texans to tie the Colts. So, yeah, I think it was a great start with some weird stuff happening. But it's going to be a fun ride.
You know, what you said, and you watched the Vikings and the Packers. What you said about the NFC basically just being so wide open. And look, that the Vikings and the Packers, that was the smallest point spread of any game week one. But the Vikings dominated the Packers. And so what do we take away from that? Clearly the Vikings are pretty good, but the Packers, I mean, is this now, are we going to see them take a step back? Is this the end of their run as a Super Bowl contender, or is this just 1 week? What do you take away from it?
I felt like, again, one more team that the way they approach preseason with more of a let's take it easy and be ready for the regular season, I think they got caught off guard. And I don't know how Justin Jefferson was running free every other play in that. It was astounding. If you didn't see it, it was just like, it was literally every other play. He was so wide open that Kevin O'Connell must be the most amazing offensive mind in the history of football. Because it's just like, and that's, as much as we talk about the Packers receivers and they were a problem, their defense was a problem. The defense is supposed to be the strength of the team outside of Aaron Rodgers, and they just had no answers for one player who had 158 receiving yards in the first half.
Well, and it's not like he's a secret.
No. I mean, yeah, he's unleashed him.
Where does Justin Jefferson guy come from?
Yeah. So that to me was concerning. But like a lot of these teams, I think that whether it's the Rams, whether it's the Packers, the Cowboys have a different set of issues going on there with the quarterback. But I think they'll find their way. But it was alarming to see how so many of these teams with so many great players just were not ready to play football.
I mean, Tampa beat Dallas, but what was Dallas on Sunday night? So who's the best team in the NFC?
Might be Philly.
Right. Ooh, now. That's a good shout. That's a good shout, man.
They had to go for it on fourth down at the end to put Detroit away. We're laughing about it, but that's what Detroit does. All they get down big, but then they come back. But I'm watching that. If Philly doesn't pick up that first down, Detroit might come back and win.
I thought Detroit showed well. And we talked about it. Like, you got me on their bandwagon, even though I've been a lifelong fan of theirs.
So. Goff shall hold them back.
You think so?
Yes.
Now you're.
Well, I just
you got me on a bad wagon. Now you got me.
Hey,
was that turn in a different direction?
You sat down. Ditch.
Now take away the fact if you're a Chiefs fan or a fan of any team. If you sat down to watch a game, was there a game more entertaining than that game?
No.
I mean, that was wild as hell. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, I go back to. Boy, DeAndre Swift, you see, if he stays healthy, he looks so good. Yeah. He averages like that 10 yards a carry. They've got talent everywhere, but it's just like Goff.
And on the flip side, Jalen Hurts, I was not a believer in him.
Better be.
When he came out, and I'm not putting him in this category, but remember, I was not a big believer in Josh Allen.
It'd been nice if they'd have thrown DeVonta Smith a pass ever.
You still on that? You still?
No. I'm vastly over on. I mean, but he has improved a lot. Josh Allen is much better than I don't remember quarterback increasing his accuracy the way that Josh Allen did in the after the first couple years of his career. So now, I fully acknowledge how great Josh Allen is. Jalen Hurts. The thing that I like is everybody that I've listened to talk about that team says that he's got all the stuff that a quarterback's supposed to have off the field in terms of like being a competitor, being a leader, you know, being a guy that's willing to put all the work in and all that stuff. And so I started thinking this offseason, like, well, if he really is all those things, maybe he could be a guy that improves and takes steps forward. And he's got an offensive line. He's got a running game. Can he be like a guy that I'm not saying at Josh Allen's level, but leads the best team in the NFC?
I think he's going to end up being more like Alex Smith.
There you go.
Jimmy Garoppolo, which is not a bad thing.
Jimmy Garoppolo's played in a Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing. I mean, he's got a lot of leadership skills. He just needs to be more consistent. He's got to be more efficient as a passer. But, yeah, people love him. And the smartest thing they did was go out and get A.J. Brown because you saw the impact A.J. Brown had in week one for them.
Yeah.
Like 10 catches, 150 yards, makes life easier for DeVonta Smith. They got Miles Sanders. They got Dallas Scott. They got a ton of people around him.
Mm-hmm.
It's no different than – actually, you know, Dak Prescott. That's probably a better analogy of what he can be because they played similarly in college and had similar knocks on them. But drafted in a similar, you know, I think he was a 3 or he was a 2 and Dak was a 4. But ultimately, that stuff goes a long way with a young team. And am I going to sit here and say that come postseason time that he's going to outduel Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or those guys? No, but I do think that if you're asking me who looks the best right now in week one, I don't think it's even close. And no other team in the NFC. Every other team that made the playoffs in the NFC outside of the Bucs lost.
And by the way, Jimmy Garoppolo's outdueled Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs a couple times.
Yeah.
I mean, so you know, it can happen.
Yeah. No, it's going to make for a great week two. Yeah. I just feel like and in some ways it's more fun because we always sit here and talk about we just kind of anoint Brady and Rodgers and those guys as being they're going to be here at the end justifiably. I mean, we all know they're Hall of Fame players, but it's always exciting when you have teams that pop up that you didn't see coming. So yeah, to see what the Vikings did, to see how Philly played, I was happy for Chicago. I mean, Justin Fields, the amount of crap he took all of last year to get that win was a big thing for him. I thought the way Jameis Winston brought the Saints back against the Falcons, it's just and Geno.
That was a fun game.
And Geno Smith.
Yeah. Geno, I mean, that was surprising as well. But the that Saints game was very entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And I you know.
Well, and let's face it, these wins, even though it's week one and people talk about, oh, it's only the first game.
It matters.
These wins mean so much. You can't tell me that the Broncos in week 17 are going to look back at this game and say,
oh, hell yes.
What? We just we blew our opportunity
in,
with that
in the AFC. That's going to come back to haunt them.
Yep.
You know that's if they don't fall apart. And I'm not saying that they will, but you know,
I'm not saying they won't.
Yeah, I mean this division could be tough, man.
All right, when we come back, we will get some official predictions for week two from Jeff Chedia right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, we'll save the best for last. So let's get some picks from Jeff Chedia. All right, our Lions cannot start off 0-2. They're hosting the Commanders. That's a win. Come on.
I got them.
Hey.
I got Lions.
All right, Lions favored by 2.5. Buccaneers at Jameis Winston.
Man, Saints have always beaten.
Yeah,
except
they
for
got
one
the Bucs
playoff
number.
Game. One playoff game. I'll take the Saints. I'll keep it rolling with that, especially with the Bucs offensive line issues and Saints got a good pass rush. I'll take the Saints.
Jarvis Landry came back from the dead. 7 catches for 114 yards for the Saints. All right.
What did Dan Sorensen do?
You know, what He's, didn't he do? He did it all. Okay, here is an interesting matchup. The Dolphins at the Ravens.
Yes, that's a game I really am curious about.
Very intriguing.
Yes.
You know Ravens what? Are favored by 3.5.
Are they?
Yes.
Home.
I'll take Ravens at home. I was alarmed by how they were playing Lamar Jackson in that game against the Jets. He like only ran the ball like 5 times. He thought Warren Moon was back there throwing. Dan Marino.
As someone who drafted him for the competitive pricks, I was alarmed as well.
He didn't like it either.
Huh? Let him run.
I'll take Ravens.
Okay. All right. What about – wouldn't that be funny? I'm not even going to say that. Cardinals at the Raiders.
Another weird game.
Come on, Cards.
I'll stick with the Raiders, given what I just saw from Arizona. I don't think they're going to fix that in a hurry. So I'll stick with the Raiders on that one.
What about – so there's a Monday night doubleheader. The Titans at the Bills. The Titans, that was shocking, right? They're supposed to be one of the best teams in the league, and the Giants are not good.
I thought the Titans were taking a step back. So
that's a big step.
I know probably they've got a lot more acclaim in other places, but I'm not crazy about what they have on offense right now. And so I think the Bills blow them out.
Here's a hell of a matchup. Vikings at Eagles on Monday Night Football.
I just saw that. That may be the game of the week.
Why is it a doubleheader on Monday night?
Because
why not?
They couldn't do it. Usually they do the doubleheader on opening night.
Right.
And they only had the one game. I don't know why they only had the one
game. I was curious why they didn't
give it to
us on Thursday night. I mean, I'll take it.
Yeah.
You know?
And maybe that's a new TV deal, whatever. But they have to get a doubleheader there somewhere. I know that. I'll take Eagles at home. I think it's a toss-up, but I'll take Eagles.
Jefferson had 9 catches for 184 yards and 2 touchdowns week one. Okay, Thursday night on Prime Video, Chargers at Chiefs. Right now the Chiefs are favored by 3.5.
You know, I should know this. Is it only on Prime Video?
Yeah,
or can you
so.
Watch it? You can't watch it on a network affiliate.
I don't think so.
I got to – okay, well, I'm good thing I have Amazon Prime.
Right.
Actually, I'll be there, so I don't have to worry about it. All right, this is a tough one.
Is it?
Because of the injuries you mentioned. I'm a little biased because I was just in with the Chargers with Brandon Staley. Chiefs, it's hard because the Chiefs start so fast, but I pick Chargers win the division. This means more to them than it does the Chiefs right now.
Hater.
I got Chargers 27-24.
Hater.
Well,
What would your son think right now? What would your son think right now? You'd say, Dad, why?
He's actually not a Chiefs. He's actually
no, he's not. But he was a Chiefs fan. No, he's not.
I mean, he likes him.
What is
he
now?
He's not like a crazy Chiefs fan.
Who does he like?
He's an NBA guy. He likes Odell Beckham. He's more of a – you know these kids are today. They don't really
like – He likes people on TikTok.
How about this? Force the Lions on him.
Yeah.
Let him watch. Let him learn.
My son's been kind of teetering on the edge of being a Chargers fan because he likes their uniforms a lot. He thinks their uniforms are awesome.
See, that's what kids do. They don't have the same affiliations that we did when we were kids, when it was just this is your zip code, this is what you got to root for. They go all over the place. But I think it's going to be a close game.
I see you glaring at me. I told you this last year. I told him, you know, hey, you cheer for who you want to cheer for. You know,
you were a Raiders fan, weren't you?
I was a Raiders fan when I was a kid because I thought their uniforms were the greatest. My dad.
What comes around goes around.
What I learned is the more my dad got pissed at me for being a Raiders fan, the more of a Raiders fan I became.
Ask your son if he enjoys the comforts of his home.
You like all this hot water and internet?
Yeah. as Draymond Green once said, F them kids.
Yeah.
Wow. Unbelievable from Marco right there.
I don't know.
You'll be out there on Thursday night, huh?
I will be. It should be a fun time. It's so weird. I mean, it's good for the league streaming, but I just can't imagine a game of this magnitude. You can't.
Somebody
watch it.
Tweeted at me and says it will be available on network on Fox 4. So I don't know. Maybe that's the
truth.
Yeah,
I thought you could watch it in bars and restaurants.
It used to be that way on Thursday Night Football, but I don't know. I confess I don't know the answer to that.
Confess you don't know.
I confess.
What's the over under? 50 what?
54 and a half.
What do you think about that one?
That sounds about. I mean, I'd probably say.
You had the under of 51.
Did I?
Yeah, 27.4.
Okay, then they're probably score less than that.
Right. That's Jeff Chedia.
Take it to the bank, folks. Get on DraftKings.
Have a great day listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The Border Patrol has been brought to you by Walker Medical Linen Services, setting the standard in healthcare laundry services for hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in Kansas City. Walker Medical Linen delivers laundry you can depend on. HLAC certified to the highest standards. It's Walker Medical Linen Services, online at walkermls.com.
Bye-bye.